Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. Y'all ready for this? The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, the only show of its kind. If you have a legal question, this is a place to call. If you have a legal problem, you need to give us a call. We are injury attorneys, but on this show, we handle any of your legal questions on any legal problem. Doesn't matter if it's real estate, could be divorce, could be estates, could be personal representatives, could be landlord-tenant. It doesn't matter. We've done boundary disputes, property questions, deed questions. 303-713-8255. That's 303-732-8515. So the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. We do the show every week as a community service. We're glad to help you and answer your questions. Don't forget to go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. At championsofthepeople.com, it's an information loaded website. And by the way, you can get any of our books free there. You can download a free copy of our ebook, any of our ebooks. Just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. And you know, one of the books is named Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. It's information and power packed with information about myths in the insurance industry, myths about car accidents. It tells you how to hire an attorney. It's got a lot of information there. Another book is called Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. And believe me, they are cowards of the street. They hit somebody, they injure them, they kill them, they take off. And so all you need to know right now what to do in advance, and we have a book on Hit and Run. We also have the definitive guideline about workers' compensation in Colorado. It's if you're injured on the job or you know somebody that's injured on the job, you need this book. There's about 17 or 18 traps identified in there for people injured on the job and how to solve them and what to do. So you can give us a call right here at the studio. We welcome all of our listeners. If you want a free auto accident assistance packet that goes in your glove box, all you have to do is call the studio. So last Wednesday, Brad and I did a show. It's going to air tomorrow morning on many stations, and then it's a delayed airing 1 week in the mountain stations. But we did part two, a sequel on our shows on back to school. And so not only is everybody concerned or should be concerned about safety of the children, but if you're a parent and you rotate driving, you know, maybe somebody drives on Monday, somebody else drives on Tuesday, on Wednesday, et cetera, we give specific instructions on what to do. Have you ever asked any insurance questions? Have you ever got a group of the parents together and said, bring your insurance policy? Do you know what it is like if you're paid money for gas? And so, Brad, let's cover some of the basics and give people the flavor of what that show is about and how Gary, it fits into back to school.
Gary, we do have three lines running right now.
All right.
For everybody out there, our studio board's a little messed up here right now, and so we're not seeing your calls in advance. We're just taking your calls as they come in, and we're just going to take them blind. And we have a caller on line one, and I'm going to have to ask you what your name is on line one.
Is this Robert?
Robert, how you doing, man?
Good. Hey, I've got a lot of questions about sworn statements. People recant right at the end of court or something when it's really serious, or when people buy a condo and they say, well, I did know what I was signing, and how are people getting out of these condo contracts, you know, timeshares? And another thing, the meaning of a notary, they just verify the fact it's you when you have something notarized, nothing else, isn't that right?
All right, let's take the notary first, because that's an easy one. The notary has a responsibility to make sure it's you that's signing, and the notary's signature verifies that the actual person, that there was an identification of the person who signed the document, that's the person who signed it. All right, so
they do.
That's all they do, really. Now, notaries have a responsibility to keep a log. They have to keep a record of what they notarized, who signed it, when they signed it, and the identification that or the means of identification that they used.
What about state of mind? Do they have to say anything about the state of mind when the person shows up or anything like that?
Nope. They don't have a responsibility to do anything except make sure that the person signing it is really that person.
Okay.
That's it. Okay.
How about these contracts and sworn statements for court and things like that? Contracts for property or sworn statements in court. When they say, well, that's not really what I meant. I signed it under duress. I've changed my mind. I'm going to remove my statement. Right when the whole court's waiting for the case to be concluded, they change their mind and throws everything into a tizzy.
That's right. Gary, you want to comment? Or?
Yeah, sure. You know, you take the oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. As we all know, however, it's very hard to prove perjury. which is kind of what you're talking about. But people do and can change their story. It goes to what lawyers call credibility and what the judges and the courts call credibility. You got to always put yourself in the position of a jury or a judge listening to this testimony, because it might be conflicting. Person A might say it was black. Person B might say it was white. No, it's black. No, it's white. No, it's black. No, it's white. So who do you believe? And so credibility is the key question. Credibility is the factor. And so if you're on there, if you're on the stand, you say, no, I saw the car. It was white. It wasn't black. It was white. And then you get cross-examined, and the lawyer says, well, in your deposition, your sworn testimony, you said it was black. Now in court, you're saying it's white. In your other statement that you gave, that was a statement to the police, you said it was black. Now you say it's white. It goes to credibility. You don't believe the person anymore.
How could it get that far? I mean, don't they kind of sit down before the court, before they embarrass the court and take all the court's time and all the preparation? I mean, don't they really have it pretty cemented before they actually get into court?
Robert, I've been doing this for 35, 40 years, and let me tell you, it never ceases to amaze me how surprises happen when you get into a courtroom and when you get into people testifying. And all of a sudden, things change at the last minute.
That's why it's fantastic, isn't it?
Yes, that's why you can never predict what's going to happen in a courtroom or what's going to happen when people are under oath and they're testifying. You have to worry about what's happening, but let me tell you, never have I seen a situation where where you know what's going to happen. So yes, sometimes when they're on the stand, they recant. Sometimes when they're on the stand, they change that what they're saying. They've got all sorts of things that'll happen. And that's just part of the business we live in. It's part of what we have to do.
All right. What about contracts?
About them?
The verbal contracts, like signing for a condo or timeshare for 10 years and then you change your mind. They're getting out of these things somehow. Lawyers on TV have been saying, look, we can get you out of these signed contracts. How do they do that? Do they pay them off somewhat or how?
Yeah, normally it's a payoff. Normally it's some kind of payment deal or finding somebody else to buy it. The idea of them saying we can get you out of contract isn't true. Contracts are enforceable. The law will enforce them. That's something they do. Don't just think they're going to get out of a contract.
Well, that being said, there are defenses.
Is it up to the person that wants to change it, or is it like a business where the lawyer looks for another client?
Well, it's where you find defenses. Gary, you were going to talk about defenses?
Yeah, I mean, there are defenses to contracts, but contracts are enforceable, obviously. But one defense has to be in writing. That's called the statute of frauds, which is pretty basic. But there are defenses about competency, about full disclosure, about misrepresentation. And suppose somebody lied to you. You're buying a timeshare or you're buying a piece of property. They lied to you. They didn't make full disclosure, and Colorado's a full disclosure state. Then what are your remedies? You can either rescind the contract or sue for damages, and becomes complicated from there. So, Robert, we appreciate your call.
Okay, we got Maureen on line 2 and Linda on line 3. We're going to get to both of you here right after the break. Please don't hang up. We'll get to you. We do have the board figured out a little bit, so we'll be talking to you right after the break.
Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we're here to answer your legal questions. This is a legal show. It is the only show of its kind. Welcome to all of our listeners. And by the way, don't forget to go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. Just as a reminder, if you have, it's back to school time. We have 2 shows, and the podcasts are on our website. 2 shows on back to school insurance coverage is what parents need to know and do. Also, we have the Youth Concussion Statute show. There's a button there. For that, you can just hit the button and listen to the ins and outs of the youth concussion statute in Colorado. And more importantly, and most importantly, if you are in an accident, you can go to our website, hit the button, and it will tell you. You can listen to the whole show on what to do before you ever make the first phone call to the insurance company or before they ever call you. Okay, Brad, so we got some callers.
We sure do, Gary, and we're going to go straight to Maureen. Maureen has some questions about a hearing aid. Maureen, you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today?
Thank you for taking my call. This is a great show, and I listen every single Saturday morning.
Thank you very much.
I bought hearing aids from a company, and I had them for a year and 3 months. They never at any time worked, they were, I don't know whether you'd call it mechanically or technologically deficient, they'd have to keep sending them back to the back factory. And I had to go, they had me coming in. I came in that time frame, I was made or asked to go in there 40 times in a year.
40 times?
40 times for a job.
Go ahead.
And finally, they just broke down altogether and had to be sent back to the factory. I finally gave up, and I said, I am returning these to you, and I did. They offered me a partial refund since I'd had so much trouble there. But by the time they got down to the refund, supervisor came in and he said, you'll have to sign a paper saying that you will never tell anyone. Well, of course, the person they really had in mind was Tom Martino. And so under duress, I signed it. Now, I suppose it was legal, but would that signature hold in a court of law since it was under coercion?
Okay, I'll tell you what. So the answer is you signed it under duress. So, I mean, that's a way to beat the document, okay? And that sort of thing. But it can be attacked, and it probably should be attacked. Do you have a copy of the document still?
Yes.
I want to see that document.
Right, exactly.
In front of me, and I don't...
No. We're going to get you off the air because we want to make sure you don't do something that violates the contract, but we're going to certainly look at it to see what's going on here. This is ridiculous. This is a slipshod company that's done something wrong, that knows they have a problem and they don't want to have it out on the air.
That's right.
And,
that's what I thought.
And then they lever you into I think, saying that they're going to give you something, okay?
Mm-hmm. Which is not even full price, right?
Pardon
right.
me?
They're not even giving you a full refund.
No.
And
half.
And the problem I have is that you probably should have gotten a full refund anyway. So I'm not even so sure there's consideration for what happened here, you know, for them to do it, except for the fact they saved you the fight.
It will take me a while to find that document because it was a while back.
Okay.
I'll keep digging.
You got to look for it. And what I'd like to do is have Kevin take your name and number off the air.
Yes, all right.
And us be able to talk to you off the air about this and look at the contract. I don't want you saying anything on the air that might cause a violation of the contract.
No, I'm not going. I'm very careful.
Right. Let's do it that way, okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Then I'm going to put you on hold, Maureen, and we're going to go to, and thank you for calling the Bell and Paul Klugel Show. Let's go to Linda. Linda has a question about taking breaks in the FMLA.
Yes, I do. I have a doctor-documented disability, which I've had for over 10 years, that requires me to stand up from my computer for 10 minutes every hour. I'm not paid by the hour. Let's just start there. I'm paid on production. I am on a time clock, but I'm not paid by the hour. The company that I work for has always been fine with this because I send in the required paperwork documenting that I need these breaks. In the last couple of months, I've been receiving email notices and phone calls that I'm now going to have to start using my intermittent FMLA to take these breaks, even though I'm not on the time, even though I'm not paid by the hour. And to me, that just sounds like discrimination. What? All of a sudden, I can't do it anymore.
What kind of breaks are you talking about?
Just standing up, moving around, because I sit at a computer all day. So I just have to stand up from my back and move around so I can sit back down for another 15 minutes and do my job.
And they're telling you they want you to use your intermittent. How are they saying they're either going to apply it? Are they going to count that as time against your FMLA accumulation or your FMLA rights?
Yes, they are. And the other kicker to this is one of my benefits that I have as an employee at this huge, huge company is 144 hours at the beginning of each year to use for excused absence with no pay. There's 144 hours there. So, like, I don't know. If I just wanted to take the day off and goof around, I could use that. However, they will not let me use those hours to cover this 10-minute break. basically what they're doing is they're watching me on the computer how many times my fingers move on the keyboard versus how long I'm punched into the time clock, even though they don't pay me by the hour. And I'm way ahead of quality and quantity in production for this company. And what gets me the most is it's been okay for 10 years, you know, the doctor sends in the paperwork. But now all of a sudden I have to use FMLA. And, of course, if you use FMLA, it doesn't start to accumulate again until you stop using it. And now they're basically telling me I'm never going to be able to stop using it because to compensate for these 10-minute breaks every hour, I have to charge it to my intermittent FMLA account.
Let me ask you a couple of questions first. Do you get any documents from the employer, an accounting, a record of what they're charging you, what it's charging against? I mean, do you get an accounting record, a ledger, a note, a memo, anything?
I get an email.
Well, just give me the flavor. You don't have to read it to them. Just give me the flavor of what one of them says.
They're basically, they send them to everybody, and basically it's a report that says time spent on the keyboard.
Right.
Time spent on the time clock. And so they clarified to me what that means. They can actually watch me how many keys I'm pressing in an hour.
Do you ever get a document that says we've deducted or we've debited or you've used up so much for your FMLA, anything like that?
No. What the email does say is if you don't correct this problem, you are possibly going to be up for action. So I contacted my HR manager and told him about this. And I said, you've accepted this about me. You hired me knowing this. You've accommodated me. And I would prefer to just use my, you know, is it okay to use my excused absence, no pay? Well, he said, well, so-and-so will get back to you. So instead of sending me an email, so-and-so, the other big boss, called me on the phone and said to me, you cannot use this category anymore. You must document your 10-minute breaks using your intermittent FMLA.
Well, I'm not even so sure that FMLA is supposed to be applying to intermittent 10-minute breaks.
Well, I'm not either. I mean, to me, that's not FMLA at all. I'm not going anywhere. I'm away from my computer for 10 minutes.
That's right. That's not what FMLA is. Now, you are aware of the Colorado minimum wage order that absolutely requires that there be a compensated 10-minute rest period for each 4 hours or a major fraction thereof that you
and
work.
And they do that, but that's only two.
Right.
And I work 8 hours a day, so there's six breaks that I'm talking about here. We're talking about 60 minutes.
So you're taking four extra breaks is what you're taking.
I'm taking six extra breaks because I get one in the morning and one in the afternoon, so there's two.
And you're taking six additional breaks after that.
Right.
All right.
Uh-huh.
And that constitutes 1 hour, and that's what they're saying is they're saying you're using that. Now, the other question I've got is whether or not they're falling outside the ADA and giving you reasonable accommodations for...
Yeah, and they were giving me reasonable accommodations for the last 10 years. They're like, okay, you're good. We want you. You know, so yes, we'll allow you to do this. You're way above quality and quantity. You're not paid by the hour. Yes, we'll allow you to do this. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, no, you can't, you know,
I've got another question for you. So what are your... I'm a little bit confused in my mind what your breaks are. Are you still trying to work when you have your breaks? Or you stand up or sit down? What do your breaks consist of?
My breaks, literally, I have to literally stand up and move around my home or go walk halfway up the block because if I sit more than, if I sit the 60 minutes when I try and stand up, I just about can't walk at all. And
okay, but you're not working. You're not doing a work function while you're on these breaks.
No. Uh-uh.
I'm
not paid by the hour. So what do they care?
Right. And they have quotas, I'm sure.
And I am way above quotas of quality and quantity, period. Way above them.
Right. Now their argument would be still if they had you for that other 60 minutes, they'd be able to
exceed
your quota even more. And that's what it is. But telling you you have to have FMLA, I don't think that's proper use of FMLA, of the intermittent.
I don't either.
Yeah, and well, Go ahead, Gary.
The other thing I want to say is that what is the penalty they're trying to impose on you? I mean, they're not subtracting your pay, they're not withholding your pay. They're just saying that you're consuming and using up FMLA. Am I right?
What the penalty would be if I don't correct the discrepancy between when I'm on the time clock and when my fingers are is I could get fired. Because it looks like I'm screwing the company because for 10 minutes of every hour, I am not moving my fingers across the keyboard.
Okay, I don't think they're in the right ballpark to be able to do that. And I think we can stop them on that. We do have to take a break. I need you to leave your name and number with Kevin.
Okay.
Have us call you this week.
That's great.
Because
I'm lost.
Yeah, my understanding is intermittent FMLA is not used for that purpose. That's not what it's about. And if it is, then I'm going to have to find out by doing a little bit more looking at the FMLA, but I've never seen it used that way.
Okay, so, I really appreciate it.
And so what I'm going to do is we'll call you off the air this week, get more information, okay. And then we'll research and get back to you, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, stay on hold. Don't go anywhere.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Bell and Polk Legal Show. We have Jason from Brighton who has a summons question. Jason, we're going to get to you right after the break. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for.
Guess it's Labor Day, huh, Gary?
Yeah, great Labor Day. Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Don't forget about our website, championsofthepeople.com. Don't forget you can get our books, free ebooks. We got more books coming out. We've got the definitive guideline of workers' comp. We've got one called Don't Get Hurt in the Same Accident Twice, once in the accident and again on the insurance claim. And we have a book entitled Cowards of the Street, Hit and Run. But the important part about that book is it doesn't matter if you're involved in a hit and run or know somebody that is. The last half of that book, the Cowards of the Street book, covers the insurance coverages in Colorado, what you need to do right now, today. So you need to get a free copy of our book. So we got some more callers, Brad.
Yeah, first we're going to talk to Eric over at Caitlin's. Eric, how's it going over there?
Doing great. How are you guys doing today?
It's a beautiful weekend, Eric.
Absolutely it is, and I've got all kinds of specials to run by you guys. We're going to start with our breakfast special. We're calling it a spicy Southwest scrambler. That's going to be two scrambled eggs. We're going to load that up with pork chorizo, sauteed onions, and bell peppers. We're going to smother that with a white queso sauce. It's out of this world. That comes with a side of hash browns as well. That's the breakfast special. And we're also continuing on one more breakfast special. We're doing the pork chops and eggs one more week by customer request. So that's two eggs cooked with any style you like. It comes with hash browns, the pork chop. You get toast or tea or pancakes. Again, I highly recommend the pancakes. Buttermilk scratch pancakes. Cannot beat them. And our lunch special is going to be the Mexican hamburger. That's also a customer request. That's a 6-ounce burger. We're going to wrap it in a flour tortilla. We're going to smother that with our scratch-made red or green chili made right here on the premises. That comes with lettuce, tomatoes, guacamole, sour cream. We're going to load it down with some cheddar and jack cheese. That's out of this world. And as always, on Mondays and Fridays, it's all-you-can-eat taco and burrito buffet. It's all you can eat. It's only $7.99. That actually includes a non-alcoholic beverage in the price. And the umbrellas are up, and like you said, Brad, it's a beautiful weekend. We got 3 days to go. We got bottomless mimosas for $10. Can't beat it. Come on down. Enjoy some time with us. Our great food, our great staff. Come check out Caitlin's. It's a great place to hang out.
You got my mouth watering, Eric. That sounds great.
You know, when he says that about those pancakes, they're scratch made and they are delicious.
You don't even need syrup on those pancakes. I mean,
absolutely no. They're just so sweet. Like I said, everything's made good. In-house. Everything's here. It's a great time, great place to hang out.
Eric, where are you located and what are your hours?
We are 4379 East Mississippi Avenue. Now, that's one block east of Colorado Boulevard. That's in the Glendale Shopping Center. And we are open 7 days a week. That's 6 to 2 Monday through Friday, 6 to 3 on the weekends. Plenty of time to come down and still get out and enjoy the rest of your day. Come on down and check out Caitlin's. It's a great place.
I'll be down there, Eric.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
You too.
All right. We're going to stay with the phones right now. We've got Jason who has a question about a summons question. He's calling from Brighton. Don't forget, folks, if you want to talk to us, you can call us at 303-713-8255. That's 303-713-8255. If you're in Steamboat, it's 970-457-1009. Please feel free to call us. We've got lines open. Jason, what's happening, man?
Yes, I had a complaint against me in the Lafayette Police Department. This happened the 21st of last month. I was was informed by telephone that that occurred, and Pepper was given a summons, delivered or otherwise. Can they do that by mail, or do they have to do it in person?
So they said that you had some kind of issue with the police department, and they wanted you to go to a court hearing or something like that?
No, it was a complaint by somebody against me.
Okay, but and so that you're, did they give you the summons? Did they mail it to you, or did they just say they're going to?
They did once. They tried to mail it, and I refused it.
Okay,
and it sent back to them.
Okay, you know, you said it was by the Lafayette Police Department, right?
Yes.
Okay. Most, and I'm not so sure what the summons is about. Okay, but
it was,
I'm.
It was just an argument between two people. Myself and someone else in a security company in the parking lot.
Right. And I'm going to tell you that 99% of the criminal summons in Colorado require personal service. Okay? And that means somebody's got to come out, they got to knock on the door, they got to find you, and they got to serve you. Okay? Mm-hmm. They can't do it by mail. That's something that is required. Now, they can ask you to come down, and if you go down to the police station, they can serve you because you came down there. If they find you anyway in person, they can serve you with a summons. But basically, I don't know of procedure out there anywhere where a criminal summons that can result in a criminal penalty, and a criminal penalty can be a fine, it can be time in jail, especially if it's time in jail. I don't know of any criminal summons that can be served simply by mail. I think it's going to require that you that you be served in person. The reason I'm hedging my bet a little bit here is because I'd have to research if the Lafayette Police Department in the town of Lafayette has a home rule city, and they have a special a law or requirement that allows them to serve by mail, but I'm betting they do not. Gary, what do you think?
Right, I think so, and we get back to that basic question that we've covered for a long time of you get a summons in the mail with regard to a traffic violation, or you get those video cameras, and then you get a summons, and you've been this, and you've been convicted of this, or you have to respond to court, etc. And, you know, the basic rule, the default rule, there are a couple of exceptions, but the basic rule is you don't have to respond to those. They have to serve you in person, and I think the same rule would apply here, absent any home rule city or other exigent circumstances. But so you refused it. You've never seen the summons. Do I have that right?
Well, it was delivered by mail, and my wife signed a receipt for it, and but I took it back to the post office and just right refused on it, and they got it back, I guess.
Okay, so you don't know of any court hearing dates. You don't know. No. You never read the summons. You don't know anything about that, right?
No. Talked to people there. First of all, they were calling me and threatening me with a summons and an arrest complaint or something like that twice if I didn't come in. And I talked to the commander there, and he. And it's been this long, they haven't filed anything yet. Can they forgive that if they want to, or the complainant, whoever made the complaint, can they discharge it?
Well, if you say they can forgive it, normally when a summons is issued, it's got to be served, as we talked about, and it starts the legal process, and then the only entity that can really dismiss, or, and it's not forgive, but dismiss the summons or the charge is court. Because the police officer becomes a complainant, but they cannot just decide they're going to withdraw that complaint. If they decide not to serve it, and they never serve it, actually come out and serve it, then it goes away by virtue of the fact that they never got served. If that makes sense to you, that doesn't activate within the court, because the court's not going to take action on it because there hasn't been a service of the summons.
Company, do they have to continue with it if they made the complaint?
If an individual makes a complaint that results in a police officer issuing a summons, the individual can no longer dismiss that complaint. The individual must live with a complaint and must understand the police are going to go forward and so is the court going to go forward. Now, when we're talking about that, if the individual says they don't want to testify or decides that they're not going to cooperate, a lot of times the court will drop it or the police will drop it or the city attorney will no longer pursue it because the individual no longer wants to be involved in.
Brad's exactly right, because just to put yourself in the criminal proceeding in your mind a second, because somebody made a complaint, they're gonna the prosecutor is gonna make the decisions. The prosecutor then and the police, but mainly the prosecutor has the ultimate discretion. The individual has lost it. However, you've seen many times in person, probably or on TV, when they say the prosecutor says I don't have a case anymore. You know, then I, the prosecutor, have to decide that I'm not going to proceed because I don't have any evidence. I don't have the person who's complaining. I don't have the complaint. And they're not going to cooperate, etc. And so, but it's the prosecution that makes the decision.
Now, I'll tell you, Jason, I'm looking at the municipal code, the city ordinances, and there's 120 chapters. So obviously for Lafayette, there's 120 chapters in their municipal code. So what it's going to take is us getting your name and phone number, having one of the attorneys in our office make some phone calls and do some research to determine whether or not they can serve you by mail and what exactly the ordinance is and the violation they're claiming, and talking to you this week, okay? But we're going to do that, so I want you to stay on hold. I'm going to give Kevin your number, and I'm going to have Kevin take your number, and once Kevin takes your number, we're going to be able to call you off the air this week and research exactly what Lafayette has going, all right?
Fair enough.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. I appreciate your call, Jason. We're going to take a short break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to a couple other callers. We've got three callers on the line. Mark, you're next. Then we're going to talk to Anthony and Henriette. Understand, if we don't get to you for some reason, don't worry, because we talk to you during the week. We have attorneys call you and go over your problems. But Mark, you're next up. And Anthony, we're going to want to talk to you. And Henriette, we're going to talk to you. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Listen, don't forget about the show that follows our legal show. It's the Barry and Larry Consumer Real Estate Show. Very professional people. You can rely on them for help, for advice, and we've dealt with them before. And then Ken Moon also today, don't forget about his show as well. It's been going on for years. It's an excellent show, and I need the kind of help that Ken Moon gives, believe me. So don't forget about our website, championsofthepeople.com, and also, we cut two shows, a two-part series. They're both done. The second part's going to air tomorrow morning in various stations, and then it's a delayed airing of 1 week in the mountain zones. So and don't forget, it's going back to school. But most importantly, yeah, we talk about safety, but most importantly, that show covers many of the ins and outs of what you as parents need to know about each other's insurance policies, who's covered, what happens if you switch drivers, what happens if you share money to pay gas, what happens if one person is hired, and do you have insurance coverage? And you'll be surprised to learn that a lot of companies, beginning with Farmers, started issuing ride-sharing endorsements to your insurance policy, so you need to ask the question now. Brad, what do we got for the phones?
Okay, we're going to talk to Mark. Mark has a question about an auto accident. Mark, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. Yeah. Love your show.
Thank you.
So I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. I was approaching an intersection.
Okay.
And there was a median painted on the blacktop, a double yellow line. And so I followed the traffic pattern that indicated. Okay. And the person behind me did not. They went right through that median area. And because I was making and I wanted to make a left-hand turn, and that median area pushed people over to kind of basically limit how far you could come back on the left-hand turn.
Okay.
So as I went past median and went to move over to make the left-hand turn, that individual had I was slowing down because I was making a couple little turns there. And he was going straight, and the light turned green, so I'm pretty sure he was accelerating to try and make the light. And because when I moved over, He was about halfway up on my car, and I struck him.
Okay.
So, I'm trying to determine kind of a little bit how much, if any, of the fault should be mine. From my perspective, obviously, there's none of it is my fault.
Were the police called?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Did you get photos or anything showing where the accident occurred and in what location on the street?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, from what I've heard from you, and I'd want to talk to you more, but from what I've heard from you on the location, those solid white lines and solid yellow lines aren't supposed to be crossed over. And if he crossed over them to really shortcut his turn, and he can't do that, or to go through, he can't do that. That's, although it's a pavement median, you know, just on paint, you're not allowed to go through those. And so I think he's got a problem. Now, you know, there's going to be some arguments about whether or not you should have seen him or noticed him or where you hit him or how you hit him or that kind of things. And a lot of that can be reconstructed. But initially, what you've told me, Gary, how do you feel?
Well, I'll tell you what, let's break it down how lawyers analyze this. So you got to look at the liability situation. And we haven't even got to whether or not you were hurt or something like that. But you got to look to the liability situation. And yes, it is illegal to cross the solid white line. People do it every day. It is illegal to cross the yellow line, and it's illegal and against the rules of the road to not comply with the directed traffic that you said you complied with. So the analysis is, are you at fault or not? The insurance company is going to try to blame you because in Colorado you have a comparative negligence statute, or we do. And what that means is, long story short, this is in our book as well, it means that they can try to compare the negligence of you, if any, those were your words, if any, so far I don't see that you have any, and compare it with the negligence of the at-fault party. And it goes to like 90%, 10%, 95%, it can be any percentage, but they always try to do that. And I think they're going to try to do that to you because when it becomes a gray area like this might be, pictures and proof are critical. But from what you've described so far on the face of it, I don't see where you did anything wrong. You were complying with the redirection and the rules of the road as presented. They crossed the line. Who got a ticket here? Anybody?
Okay, when the police officer came there, he didn't like really, he only talked a little bit to the other person because he said, who called the police? And the other guy said, I did, and he did, and then because he called, I didn't call. So anyways, he talked to him a little bit, and I walked over and I said, are you going to be, he said, I'm not going to I'm not going to determination fault. And I said, so you're not going to be writing any tickets, and he said violations, and he said no. And I said, then you're not going to determine at fault. And he goes, no. And from there, he never even talked to me. I talked to his partner some, but he never talked to me. And he said the only reason he was going to do a report was because the vehicle that I was involved with was a commercial vehicle.
Did he do
it? Otherwise, I wouldn't even do a report.
But I want to tell you right now, it is everybody says who got the ticket. That's why I asked you the question. Tickets are not admissible in court of law when you got an injury type case or a civil trial going. It is important what the police officer saw or did, but the ticket's not determinative. What's determinative are the actual facts proven by your pictures, reconstruction and or witnesses and or your statement.
Did he do an accident report? Do you know if he did a report?
Yes, he did a report, and I'm going to be getting that. They said wait a couple of days and then ask for it. So,
all right,
I'm going to give it a couple of days and be mailing in for it. Yeah, from what I understand, I have to mail in for it.
I want to see that report as soon as it comes out. I'd like to look at it when you get it. Okay.
And the individual that I was involved with, what he said was there was conflicting statements on what happened. Well, I never really got a chance to make the tape to what happened.
Right.
Okay, Mark, exactly. Has anybody called you to interview you and ask for a recorded statement?
No.
Okay, somebody will be. Don't talk to him right now, okay?
I reported the incidents to my insurance as I was indicated I was supposed to. Is that like what you're meaning?
No. You might get a call from the other side asking for a recorded statement from the other man's insurance company. Okay? I don't want you giving that recorded statement. I don't want you talking to him yet. I want you to talk to us off the air. I want you to go over your rights. You said you were in a commercial vehicle. I'm sure you have a boss or somebody who's also advising you. And
No. I was not in the commercial vehicle. I was in my private car. The vehicle that was that I was involved with was a commercial vehicle.
Okay. Let me take your name and number, and we'll call you, and we'll go over all your rights, okay?
Okay.
You hang on, and Kevin's going to get your number, and we'll talk to you this week, okay?
All right. Thank you.
I want to make one comment, Brad, on this, because real quick, this is the key issue. This is the key issue. We preach this all the time. You're in an accident, any kind, doesn't matter. The at-fault party, insurance company is going to call you. You must listen to our show, our podcast. It's on our website, championsofthepeople.com, of what you need to know right before you make the first contact, before you make the first fall, a call. It's right there, or you can call us at any time. But Brad's advice is exactly correct.
Okay. We're going to put Mark on hold. Actually, we've got exactly 12 seconds or 10 seconds before we go to music on our heart out. Anthony, we're going to call you. Please give your number to Kevin. We'll call you on Monday or Tuesday. Sorry, folks, not Monday, Tuesday. And Henriette, we're going to call you also on your timeshare issue. Anthony, you've got a work comp issue. We're going to call you both on Tuesday to go over your problems and go over whatever your needs may be.
All right, you're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We've done this show for a lot of years. We got offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, and Steamboat Springs. And right now, I'm looking at the mountains in Steamboat Springs. It couldn't be any better. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, because we are your champions of the people.
Shined upon her head.